What's up, y'all? Welcome to our YouTube channel, Africans Talk Football. Appreciate your guys' continued support. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Thank you.
So welcome back to another episode of Africans Talk Football, where we bring another episode with fresh soccer news highlighting the Africans and African Americans who have seen success within the sport. We'll also bring you news from our favorite teams in the Premier League, as well as informing you on European leagues and soccer news worldwide. Whether this is your first episode with us or you've been with us for the jump, again, we just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you to all of our friends and supporters. Once again, my name is Cornelius. I'm joined by my boys and fellow co-hosts. Salam, how do you feel tonight, my boy?
I'm feeling great, man. Feeling like a million bucks. I don't know what to say. I feel great, man. Hey, bro, how you doing?
I'm okay, man. How are you, Mike?
Feeling good, man. Can't complain.
Yeah, man. It's good to see everybody here again today. Thank you again to everyone who actually tapped in to our midweek episode. We kind of did that a little spur of the moment, but with all of the games coming in December and then obviously through January, we want to make sure that we can get out as much news, as much info, as much content, and just make sure that you know what's going on in the Prem, especially with the teams that we don't really highlight all the time on the episodes. But before we get into the Premier League and talk about our team specifically, just wanted to highlight a few things. So first and foremost, wanted to talk about the MLS. So congratulations to the LA Galaxy, who have hoisted another cup, beating the New York Red Bulls this past weekend. I wasn't actually able to watch the match, but the Galaxy, bro, they've done it again. Obviously, we know what that club has done, their history. They have the most championships in the MLS, and they just continue to get to finals, honestly. So we have to say, first and foremost, kudos to that organization. They just know how to win. They've done it time and time again, and we've seen it through many iterations of the MLS, many generations of the MLS. So it's cool to see them get another cup. But do you think are they a dynasty, or is it kind of too off and on for them to be considered a dynasty right now?
Too off and on, but they've been one of the best teams in MLS for a long time. And yeah, shout out to them for winning. Isaiah Parente from Cleveland, my boy's little brother, also was on that team. So he has two MLS cups now, which is kind of crazy. Wow. Because he's on Columbus when Columbus won, I believe, one of them. So yeah, but no, yeah, shout out to them. I don't think they're a dynasty. You have to win a couple in a row, I feel like if not 4 in 3 years, or like 4 in 5 or 3 in 5, something like that. But they've always been around. They've been winning cups for a while now. So they've always been a very, very good team. I mean, they've always signed big players, always had a draw there. So yeah, man, shout out to them. And they even have Puig, so
Yeah, I think they're one of the teams in the MLS that you can point to as the standard, quote unquote. They're given the other MLS teams kind of like the blueprint of how they want to work around with, developing their team and even the league, and they've showed us throughout the years that the process they're taking is actually working. So, kudos to them. Yeah.
No, I agree with what you said, Gabriel. I think that they're definitely the most decorated team in the MLS with all the success that they had. I wouldn't necessarily call them a dynasty per se, just because, of the inconsistencies. I may be biased, but I would say Columbus is more of a dynasty right now than they are. But, I mean, not taking anything away from them. But you got to give them credit, man, especially this season. Like Mike said, no Pugh, he didn't play. He tore his ACL and actually still played damn near on it.
Which is insane.
You got to give him credit. I know that obviously Messi gets a lot of the light and the shine, with his presence in the league. But this guy's been – one of the best players in the MLS, and he's shown that. And again, man, you look at the team, additions like, what's his name? Alex Pack, Brazilian guy. It took him a while to really hit the ground running, but he started to heat up at the right time. And then our African guy, Joseph Pansel from Ghana. He scored in the final. So a lot of these guys, and then obviously Marco Royce joining the team as well. Like, you know, that final edition. You got to give them credit, man, with how they pieced together this team. At the beginning of the season, to be very honest with you, I did not think that they
did not.
I agree. They were not one of my favorites.
Not at all. But, you know, they got the job done. You got to give them credit, you know, and everybody that's there. And, yeah, shout out to them. Shout out Yoshida, man, the captain. He used to play for Southampton. You know, still playing there too. So,
I was actually surprised he was still playing.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, he's the captain, making a big contribution to the team. But yeah, man, obviously, just wanted to recognize, you know, Pencil and his goal. But yeah, shout out to LA.
Yeah, shout out LA, man. I was cool. I thought it was cool how they held up, how he held up Puig's jersey to, you know, show love for him. And it was, you know, cool that they actually ended up getting the win. So once again, shout out to LA. And just like y'all said, they are the blueprint of how teams should be set up, just organization, you know, from the top down, kind of how they should be run. To move over to the Premier League, there were there was actually some harrowing, some sad news after the midweek game. So for those of you who did not know, Mikel Antonio, center forward, striker for West Ham, was involved in a pretty serious car crash. And I just want to read the statement here that was sent from West Ham. This was about 11 hours ago. So they said West Ham can confirm Mikel Antonio has undergone surgery on a lower limb fracture following a road traffic accident on Saturday afternoon. Mikel will continue to be monitored in a hospital over the following days. Everyone at the club wishes Mikel a speedy recovery and wishes to express its sincere gratitude to the football family at large for the overwhelming support since yesterday's news. And it goes on to say more. But yeah, man, I don't know if y'all saw pictures from the crash, but man, I just after seeing the car, he's lucky to have his life. And again, I just want to say speedy recovery and prayers that he can get, you know, back to health as quickly as possible. And also just for his family, his friends, for the club. Obviously, that's very, very heavy to have to go through. And then, you know, to get that news and then have to play a match, it's kind of one of those things where, you know, your mind isn't on the match, but you have to be a professional. You still have to show up for your job. So for friends, family, club, everybody involved with, you know, the situation, I just, you know, offer up my prayers and hope that, you know, Mikel Antonio gets back to health as speedy as possible.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, I don't know.
I was saying that picture, bro. It just makes you think, like, shit, how fast were you going? And, like, what happened? And then, obviously, you know, the great news is that he's alive. I don't know if his family was with him, but they were. Hopefully, they're okay as well, too. But, yeah, like you said, bro, it's pictures are definitely concerning. I know when I saw that in the group chat, I was like, my first thought was like, is he okay? Is he alive? Because
that picture looked bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, speedy recovery to him, man. Speedy recovery to him. What, he's going to be out for a year, they said?
I don't even know.
Yeah, I think that's what they said. That's what I
heard. If he got surgery on a lower limb, I mean, we don't even know what he got surgery on.
Honestly, the way is it.
Thigh bone. I think that's what they said. A thigh bone or something like that. But he's supposed to be out for a year. So
yeah, the way they're keeping this kind of like hush hush, like they're giving us information, but they're not giving us specifics.
Yeah.
I truly think it could have been like he could have had like a real like lower back, like spine, like it, you know, when you mess up your trunk, you have to relearn how to walk again. So anything near the core of your body, near your hip, if it's upper thigh, it could be, you know, very, very serious. So, you know, once again, just speedy recovery, and I hope he can get back just to, you know, walking again. We don't really know the severity of the accident and what he has to relearn how to do and all that. But, you know, just from someone who's torn their ACL, it's a long road back. So prayers up to the family, friends, the club, and all that. Once again, for Mikel Antonio. But to switch over to Manchester United, we're not even going to get into their game yet. Although, as you know, when you lose, you go first. But it wouldn't be Manchester United if they didn't have some story that's, you know, bigger than the club losing 3-2 to Nottingham Forest. But United and Dan Ashworth, their sporting director who was hired 5 months ago, have parted ways. Once again, there have been some murmurs that there were issues with him not wanting, you know, Ruben Amorim to be appointed as manager, with him thinking they should go traditionally with an English manager, him putting Gareth Southgate's name in the hat. You know, there were also rumblings of him just not getting along with, you know, Ineos, and I don't know. You know, it's rumors. But now that the firing has been official, you know, you see the news start to come out. But to pass it over to Salam, did this shock you? And, you know, moving forward, where do you go from here?
I mean, did it shock me? Yeah, I think he himself was shocked based off of the stuff that I was reading. But yeah, I mean, like you said, I you know, we can only go off of, you know, what the information that we're all privy to. So he was in support of first he was in support of Eric Ten Hag just then, and obviously them as a collective, they decided to keep him to start the season. And then afterwards, before we appointed Amorim, I know that they wanted to go get Southgate. He wanted to go get an English manager. Obviously, that didn't happen, and he really wasn't for the current manager now. So obviously, that division, difference in ideas and belief was there. But I mean, for me, bro, like I'm actually not bothered by it at all. I think it. For me, what it shows is that these guys are, they'll do what they have to do to win. And to be very honest with you, and this is no disrespect for Dan Ashworth, but from all the guys that we brought in, you know, Sir David Bailsford, Christopher Violi, he's a part of the structure as well too, Omar Barada. Dan Ashworth was the one that I was like, all right, bro, if you were to leave, like, I'd be okay. It was just too many cooks in the kitchen, too many ideas, too many people from different clubs that had, you know, experience doing what he was doing. And to be very honest with you, Omar Barada was in favor of Ruben Amorim. And, I mean, clearly, you know, they had their clashes and it just wasn't working out. And I mean, part of it too was supposedly they said that they wasn't happy with the summer transfer window, with how much that we spent and then how much, well, just looking at where we are as, you know, in the table. So I'm not really bothered at all. I think for me, this shows me that they're not afraid to make, you know, some of these ruthless decisions. You know, hopefully, they can keep the same energy with some of these players.
Are they going to be replacing him, or they're just going to go through the season without one?
That's the thing. That's the interesting thing, because you did it. I don't really know what triggered it. You know what I'm saying? Is it the loss to Nottingham Forest? I feel like there had to have been some sort of something that internal. Happened that, yeah, internal that internal, obviously, yeah, you know, caused this to happen. But for him to leave right before the January transfer window is obviously not ideal. Hopefully we can get someone in quickly, because we definitely need help and fast. We need reinforcements. So hopefully we can get someone in, because obviously we need something in January, but most importantly in the summer as well too. But I'm not really bothered. The ownership clearly shows that they have an idea on how they want to do things, and they're not afraid to make the decisions that need to be. And I mean, you guys as Chelsea fans, you guys know that sometimes you guys don't get things right on the first go. So if it's happening and if it's not working, then we have to move on.
Yeah,
I agree. I agree with now that you know, now that you've officially parted ways with the guy that didn't want Amorim in, and now that Amorim is, you know, the manager. Let's talk about his managing in the 3-2 loss here to Nottingham Forest, because it's obviously it's been up and down, and we keep seeing reports how he's like, the players have to, I'm realizing that the players have to get used to this new way of thinking and playing. And you know, it's a very political way of saying they ain't up to standard right now. It's pretty much is what he's saying, you know, without saying that.
But absolutely,
you know, we've seen some positives, we've seen some negatives, you know, we've seen some areas of improvement. Let me not say negatives per se, but you know, we talked about Nottingham Forest. This is a difficult team to play against. But you know, your takeaways from the match this past weekend.
I mean, the biggest takeaway that I have is we're terrible on set pieces, defending set pieces. We've been terrible for a very long time.
This week showed you for sure, if any week.
Yeah, I mean, between last week and last game and then this game, it's like, you know, defensively we have to get better. I always, you know, like mistakes are going to happen. Like, I mean, Cucurella slipped today, right? Twice. Mistakes happen. I feel like I'm talking to my players. Mistakes are a part of life, right? Like they happen, but it's like it's really hard for us to find success when we're always shooting ourselves in the foot. And it's not just about this game. It's the past 5 to 6 years. Think about how many games like we go down for the silliest reasons. You know, I think one of you guys said, like, watching a United game is so entertaining, and it is. It really is. Like, it's like WWE, you know, it's just, it's so like, there is no, like, first 5 minutes, it doesn't matter. First 2 minutes, you know, oh, we're in the goal. There's so many moments, you know, only my club, someone shoots and defends his hand up like this and penalty. It's like, come on, bro. But, you know, defensively, we have to get better. I think it was just, you know, mistake after mistake. I mean, Onana on the one goal, like, you know, he has to do better as well too.
That's bad, bro.
But it's just, but that's the thing though, bro. It's just, again, it's just like, how many, I don't expect perfection, but you know what I'm saying? But it's just kind of like, do we always have
to? No, that's unacceptable though. Those things are unacceptable.
But that's the thing. Again, this is not just on him. This is just as a whole, as a collective. Like, it's hard for us to find and establish any foundation of success if we keep shooting ourselves in the foot. So that has to stop. But again, you know, this is a part of that filtration, the filtering that needs to happen for, you know, the players to see that, you know, some of them really can't, you know, work in this system. And I think this is all just a part of the process, bro. I think, like Cornelia said, the manager's really keeping like a diplomatic tone when it comes to the players, because he understands that he still has the rest of the season to go with. So, you know, he's doing his part in defending his players. That's what you do as a manager. But I think you guys are starting to see it now. Like, it's just, it's so interesting, bro, how Ten Hag got sacked. And again, I was the one out here, and I'll admit, I didn't say that. Like, I was like, hey, I was one of the last people to say he needs to go. But, and the reason why I was under that belief was because there's this idea that, like, if the manager leaves, all of a sudden these players just, they evolve and they're unlocked. And it's like, that's not the case here. So, you know, unfortunately he had to go, which he did have to go. I'm glad that we have the manager that we have now, but I mean, I don't know, man. You expect a manager bounce. You got it for, you know, what, a game, 90 minutes? And then it's like, you kind of go back to, and then you kind of go back to like what you're doing. So it's just, it's just really telling on, you know, some of the players that we have. And, you know, we always, the last thing I'll say is, you know, we always talk about like, well, I don't see this person, you know, fitting into the system. We were talking about Bruno last week. He took Bruno off. In my opinion, we looked worse when he came off. And it's like, you know, it's hard to take some of these players out of the team when we as a team, we just look just completely disorganized. Like, you know, when someone like him is like, not on the pitch. But someone like him is also inconsistently, he doesn't help us consistently. So, and it's not just on him, but as a whole, we just have to get better. And the only person that I trust in a United shirt, honestly, is Ahmed, Mazraoui, Yoro, Kobe, Ruben Albon.
Not even gonna skip. Wow.
Wow. Well, I mean, it's just, I don't know, bro. Like, it has to. He needs to figure something out with Bruno. It's just he can't. The one thing that I will say, the one thing that he needs to understand very quickly is Kobbie Mainoo is not going to be an 8 in your system, and Bruno Fernandes is not going to be a 10 in your system. If you need to switch them, switch them. Kobbie Mainoo, in my opinion, is better in the attacking third. He's better going forward. He's better on the half turn in the attacking third going towards the goal. Look at the goal, the first goal that he scored versus Wolves. I don't know if you guys remember that. He created that by himself. He doesn't need that. But Bruno Fernandes, again, we see what we have back in third. So
but yeah, like I was saying,
you can't have someone that deep in the pitch, you know, making mistakes. Yeah. Like, look what he did when he was deep in the pitch last match. You know, just giving the ball away. You know what I mean? So
I think, you know, the last few games we've seen of United is pretty glaring that it's time you guys are at that point where you have to part ways with certain guys. And you said it on this pod many times, the players. And, you know, I give you a hard time. But now that the manager's changed and it's still looking the same, even with a different formation, with a different combination of players playing on the pitch at the same time, and it's still looking the same.
Yeah.
And that's it's the common denominator, especially your captain. I mean, he got a goal, but that goal does not cover everything. Horrible performance for me. It just wasn't good enough. Like, you're the guy that is leading these guys on the pitch, and half the time you're the worst player.
Yeah,
I don't understand. But like you said, you don't have the choice to not play him either.
The people we brought on, it's like, yo, like Mason Mount, you did nothing. Rashford, you did nothing. Like the, and it's so hard to like, oh, like this person will give us a spark. And it's like, you telling me the whole team is just, are they all just not like capable of doing
anything? So that's my thing. Do you think it's they haven't figured out this style of play, because we know there's a formation change, we know that there's a different style, or we know that there's now a style that these guys have to learn how to play? Because as you said before, you never thought that United had a style of play. You thought it was, let's put in our best players and hope they can figure it out on the pitch. So now that you have Amorim setting you up different, you think it's them just trying to relearn or unlearn what they knew?
Yeah, it's just, it's hard for me to say that, you know, because these guys are professionals. You know, I don't want to insult them as professionals. When you do anything for the first time, I really feel like this is the shit that I tell my players when I was coaching. Like, when you do anything for the first time with people that you've never done it before, there's going to be, you know, learning curves. Like, that's expected. It's not going to be going smoothly. And I don't expect perfection, but again, it's just kind of like, fundamentally, if you can't carry out the instructions and the role that I'm asking you to do, well, it's going to be hard for you as an individual to find success, which in return means that we as a team can't find success. So I don't want to insult them and say like they can't figure it out. But again, to my point, remember when he came during the international break, correct? He came during the international break, game one. What did I say? Yes, I understand that you guys are on, you have your holiday, but for this particular circumstance, can we stay in Manchester and can we try and figure this out? Because clearly, like, we need to do more. Like, you got, I don't know, bro. Like, it's just, it's wild though, man. But I mean,
This team has a huge mentality problem. I didn't mean to cut you off, but I think it's a mentality thing. Yeah, this team is broken mentality-wise, and they don't have a foundation. And he has to like set the blocks and really build it from the ground up, because you can tell there's just no discipline, like consistent discipline in the locker room. That's how I feel. And mentality-wise, is just they don't. It's just not there. I don't know. It's kind of weird to see in like a. Mm-hmm. At a club that's so big and with so many players that, you know, we've seen them at high levels. And,
yeah,
you know, you
see. I agree.
My last point is
really a mentality thing.
If you, the 100%, Gabriel, but if you, my thing is now going forward, if you got rid of Dan Ashworth because he obviously didn't align with what we're trying to do and what the manager wants to do, then we have to have that same energy for the players.
Absolutely, I agree.
What are we doing here if that's not the case? You know what I'm saying? Because we got to stop pampering some of these guys, man. Like, we're here to win. And quite frankly, no disrespect to them, but we've had far greater players that have represented this team.
No disrespect. Man, come on.
No, it's just, I don't want to insult professionals and what they do in their profession.
Yeah. Not at all. No, I hear you, but the guys that have walked through those hallways, you're not disrespecting anybody.
Yeah, but it is what it is. But you know, I'm calm though, man. I'm very calm. As long as we don't get relegated, I'm calm. I'm really calm.
All right. Before we move on, I'm gonna go through this list real quick.
Gotcha.
Don't think about it. Just keep or cut. All right. This is your team.
Keep or cut. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Anthony.
Cut.
Garnacho.
Ooh, that's tough. Keep.
Haaland.
Yeah. Honestly, I want to say cut, but but I'm gonna say keep because you know he's a young guy. Let's see if he can figure it out.
Rashford.
Cut.
Xerxes.
Keep.
Casemiro.
Cut.
Ahmad.
Extend lifetime deal. Lifetime deal. Put him in a 360, bro.
You know, okay. What's his name? Eriksen.
Cut.
Hernandez.
Cut.
Kobbie Mainoo.
Extend.
Mason Mount.
Keep.
Ugarte.
Keep.
Delo.
I told you guys this weekend I'd keep him for now, but you know what, bro? Cut. Fuck out.
All right, you got to. All right, I'll go through this quickly. Johnny Evans.
Cut.
Delit.
Keep.
Lindelof.
Cut.
Maguire.
Cut.
Malacia.
Keep. I actually like
Mazraoui.
Keep. Best player.
Martinez.
Lissandro.
The butcher coming.
Yeah, keep.
Yoro.
Keep.
Keep. Shaw.
Terminate. Terminate.
Okay, Onana.
Onana, keep.
Okay, I just wanted to see where you're staying on some of these guys. I mean, it looks like most of these, the main guys you wanted to keep, have the guys that you know have consistently showed us something. But the last thing I'll say is, it time to move Martinez from center back? Because I feel like he's just not helping. Maybe he could play CDM. I don't know. What do you think?
I think he's fine, man. I know a lot of people are trying to make something out of his height, like, oh, he's short, like that's why
he got dunked on this weekend.
The thing, but it's just like, no. But again, bro, it's a.
But he should never be guarding him.
Collective, it's a collective thing. But again, it's just like our assignment.
Like, why is Maguire not on him? Like, why are you putting the smallest man on? Like, I just never understood. Even as a player, it's like, bro,
you gotta talk.
Yeah,
talk. Like,
hey, exactly. McGuire was just hands out like this, you know, just looking.
Yeah. If we're all defending on the tallest person, if we're all on teams, best believe I'm gonna ask Gabriel to go mark the guy.
Yeah.
The tallest person. I'm not gonna be like, hey, this is my moment. Like, I'm gonna go try and do this.
Yeah, it's not time to be Superman. You know.
Yeah, I think I truly never understood that. It's like, how do y'all not figure that out in the box? It's like, yo, come get him. Who has top box? Yo, yeah. I have two. Like,
yeah.
I just wanted to see where you stand on him, because I feel like you would have some pretty good center backs with, you know, Dalit, Euro, and who else you have? Well, I guess McGuire.
That's it. We have the young guy, but I don't think he's quite ready yet. But hopefully we'll see him in some of the Cup games. But I think Lissandro's fine, man. I think that, to be very honest with you, from all the center backs that he has, he's the best technically. So in the build-out, I actually feel the most comfortable with him on the ball in the back. And I think just him, Dalit, and Euro are so different. They complement each other very well. You know, we have our ball-playing center back. We have our stronger center back, the person who can win the balls out of the air in Dalit. And then if there's someone with pace, we have Euro back there. So, like, I think they all complement each other. I just think that he was clearly in the wrong place at the wrong time.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. It's going to be this is very, very new. Amorim has managed less than 5 games, I believe. So it's still, he's still getting to know the team at the end of the day, you know? So obviously we're going to give him some grace, but I agree with Salam. Some of these players just got to pick it up. I mean, the play just isn't at the standard of United, and we know where it should be at the end of the day. But to switch gears, let's move over to, you know, the Sunday slate. We had, honestly, this whole week, we had great matchups, great matches. And, you know, we had another London derby, Fulham versus Arsenal, or we should say Arsenal versus Samandem we used to play with. But Arsenal, it was a revenge game, man. You know, I don't want to call them Arsenal B team. I don't want to say the B team, but I do want to say it was the man them we used to play with. But yeah, Fulham 1-1 against Arsenal today. Very, 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 very close. Almost snatch and grab from Saka, but it was deemed offsides. You know, I was able to watch the match with Gabriel, so I was there for it. But, you know, Gabriel, just kind of your takes on the match itself and then how you are now viewing your space in the top four.
I think offensively the match was so dead for us. I first want to start off by, I think Arteta failed us today. I want to start there. I personally think Arteta failed us today. And I'll say this every time that Partey starts in the right back position. Every single time Partey starts there, bro, it does not work. It does not work. I don't get it. It does not work. And just in general, we bought this Moreno guy. Why isn't he starting? Someone, please explain it to me. We're starting Jorginho. We're playing Fulham. This is a team where we should... We need 3 points. We all understand we need 3 points. We should be playing pretty much our strongest 11. Why is Jorginho starting? And we just bought Moreno in. Is he injured? Is he not fit? Because if he's not fit, then he shouldn't be on the team sheet. If you're in the team sheet, why are you not starting? Everyone else is starting. Now, for my right backs and my left backs, look at our injury. Zinchenko's hurt. Tomiyasu, like I said, all of them are hurt. Calafiori was out this week as well. So, but at the same time, I feel like we need a true right back behind Saka. It's just what we need, bro. It's that simple. We need a right back. Saka needs the help. Because he would have needed the help today. He had Duncan Robinson on him. Anthony Robinson on him. I call him that. But I'm tripping. he had Anthony Robinson on him today. Like we said, he's one of the best, if not the best, left back in the Prem. So he needed that help today, and he had none of it. And you can tell. It was very, very clear. Like I said, I think he's trying to overcomplicate this midfield when, bro, listen, we have the person playing on the left come inside and help with the midfield. Whoever's on the right side supports Saka because he gets double teamed. He needs to support. Odegaard's going to operate around Saka. Whoever, Moreno, operate where you operate near Martinelli. Declan Rice, hold us in the six. It's very, very simple. It's very, very simple. It's too much tinkering for me, bro. This is too much. It's too much. Honestly, it's too much tinkering for me, bro. Because a game like this, we need 3 points. Fulham did this exact same thing last year. They did the double on us. Fulham did the double. That's why we lost the league. Fulham did the double on us. And what they do, they take 2 points from us today. Right. So it's ridiculous. And the last thing I want to touch on is, you know, besides getting scored on, we got scored on, you know, Kivior got beat. Whatever. Fine. Great shot. You know, great finish. I can't even really say much about it. It is what it is. They broke our press down. It is what it is. Great. Good goal. Great team goal. But we talk about these margins all the time, the margins in football. Every week we talk about this. And I understand now why we potentially want to buy a winger. I get it now. Because for the time that I've been watching Arsenal, there maybe on two hands are the amount of times I can count Saka being offsides when he's receiving a ball from someone. And I'm talking about, you know, maybe Calfiori's, you know, playing him, you know, switching the field of play, maybe Partey's, you know, chipping the ball to him, maybe Odegaard's playing a pass into him. I can count on two hands probably the number of times Saka's been offsides. Now, if he's making a run-in or something like that, that doesn't count. We understand that. It's margins. But just receiving the ball, I can count on two hands probably. Martinelli, Gabriel, Reece Nelson used to do this. Eddie Nketiah used to do this. Guys receiving the ball, you're looking at the line. You're a winger, bro. You can see across the whole back line, better than the center backs, better than anyone. Only the linesman probably has a better view than you. You can see across the whole line. And you're telling me you receiving the ball, you're offsides, bro. That's so extremely just lazy, bro. And look what it does. Look at what it does. It costs us 3 points. It costs us 3 points. We talk about these margins all the time. My star winger never does this. This is what we talk about, bro. This is why we can rely on him. But Gabriel Jesus does this consistently all the time. It's like, bro, think the game. You're a professional. How are you offsides when you're receiving the ball and you're a winger, bro? That's unacceptable for me. And it cost us a goal. Because for us, we played so poorly. We played so poorly in the match. Honestly, we played so poorly. But yet, we get a goal off a set piece. Great. We get a goal in open play, but no, it's disallowed because a guy doesn't want to take that extra half step of whatever, you know, just taking the half step to be on sides when he receives the ball. It's little things like that. It's like, nah, we might not win a league because of that. That might be the reason we don't win the league, because someone didn't want to be on side to receive the ball, bro. So no, this loss is just, or not, I call it a loss because it feels like a loss to me. But this draw is disappointing, and it's especially on the weeks that Chelsea wins, other team City drops points, Liverpool didn't play, but yet we talk about all the time. Forget a game in hand. I'd rather have the points. Game in hand doesn't mean anything. So yeah. It's like we have to capitalize on these weeks, and yet again, we don't. Like I said, we have a couple matches that are favorable, but we needed this one for our run to start. I really did feel like that. And we, like we say all the time, yes, Fulham's, you know, in sixth or fifth place right now, but this is a team that when the table really shakes out, I'm curious to see where they land. But to me, this is still a club that we need to beat week in, week out, bro. I don't care. 1-0, fine. 2-1, fine. Week in, week out, we need to be able to beat teams like this. So it worries me that, yeah, we're drawing teams like this. Like, yeah, it's better than a loss, but we need 3 points. We need 3 points. So personal individual mistakes hurt us, but it starts with the manager, and Arteta failed us today. And I'm very disappointed in that, because if Moreno is your guy, I need him to be on the pitch. I need him to be on the pitch. Tell me why he isn't. We know we need the league, so our strongest 11 every week. I don't care who we're playing, Ipswich. I don't care, every week. It's that simple.
I think I just wanted to quickly say, but before I kind of just touch on Arsenal, I just wanted to say Fulham has actually really surprised me. And they're a good team. Yeah. If you guys, for those of you guys that are listening, you know, we drop, you know, weekly recaps on what we see on, you know, the Premier League weekend, whatever match day it is. And I feel like we've been pretty spot on. We, you know, we drop those every Monday after we drop our episodes. Nice. And I think one of you guys said something about Fulham and like how good
early
they were.
Me.
Yeah, it was you. And I've been really impressed with them, man. So like, I really think that they have a good thing going. I would love to see that group stay together, but I also see potentially there is some people that I feel like could get poached from that team. Uh-huh. But for me, and I'll keep this short, like what I think of Arsenal, and I was thinking about it as you were talking, you know, with our situation with Dan Ashworth. I really feel like this game, you guys were in the game today. You guys could have potentially won it. You lost. Sure. You didn't win based off of, like, you know, a small margin. But I really think the timing of, I don't know, Edu and Arteta falling out is, like, could potentially really hurt you guys over the next few weeks. Because it's, like, it's such a congested fixture. And when you're looking for a spark off the bench, it's, like, like you said, like, why isn't this dude not playing? We spent all summer getting him in Moreno. Like, why is he not contributing? Why do we not have, like, that bona fide striker or that support so that all of our attack isn't through Odegaard? Through Saka. But, yeah, man, I don't know. I just feel like that timing of just the falling out,
yeah, I mean,
I think could potentially be an issue.
Go ahead, Mike. All banter aside, I feel like you guys know where I started on Arteta. You know how I started on him. Completely changed my view on him. I think from where he took over with you guys and where he's brought the team, he deserves a lot of credit. But like you said, sometimes it's just okay to just keep it simple. You know, sometimes I feel like he tries to be too smart for himself. You know, the more I watch him, the more I watch you guys, the more I ask myself, would they have to move on from Arteta to get the next guy who can maybe take them over the hump? It's a real thing to actually Arsenal fans need to think about. Because, like you said, some of the decision making sometimes, I don't know if maybe it's they're trying to keep things under wraps in terms of maybe knocks and injuries or what it may be. But it's just like, how many games do we have to see Partey right back to say it doesn't work? If I'm sitting at home and I can see it, why don't you see it? Like, I get it. You know, coaches usually do this with players they trust, right? They know, okay, I can depend on this guy too for just this one game. Give me a shift, you know, I ride back.
Yeah.
But it hasn't worked.
Consistently done this.
And my other point I wanted to make, the Martinelli point you were making. See, when we talk about Arsenal bringing in a top guy, bringing in a top winger, these are the differences, right? If you have a top winger, somebody that, you know, is experienced, played in big clubs, big games, big moments, their decision-making is different from somebody like Martinelli, you know? That's why we're, you know, when I criticize Arsenal in terms of the team they built, when you guys were building, I was scared. But when you chose to keep guys like Martinelli as your main starting winger, Havertz as your main striker, it just gets me wondering, like, you really believe these two can get you over the hump? And then you're looking across Liverpool, you're looking across City. You really think those guys are better than what these guys ahead of you have?
Like, fair point.
Like, let's be realistic. They're just not. Martinelli's a good player. I'm not saying he's trash. He's not a bad player.
I agree.
Is he really a better player than, let's say, Gakpo or Salah or Nunez? Like, I don't think the level is. It's there's a little bit of a gap between your guys and their guys, and I'm not necessarily saying build your team. Nunez, bro. You know, build your team looking at the other team.
Hold on. Martinelli's better.
Back up.
Yeah, bro. You're talking crazy.
Is Gabriel Martinelli better than Darwin Nunez? I want to hear an answer.
Yeah. Oh, no. Did I say Nunez? I was talking about the Colombian guy. Not
Diaz.
Nunez is not better than Diaz. I was talking about Diaz.
I don't think he's better than Luis. No, he doesn't start from Brazil.
Luis Diaz can move the needle.
You think Martinelli is better than Luis Diaz?
Martinelli's saying Martinelli is better than Diaz?
No.
He said.
Gabriel, stop.
I didn't say that. I didn't say that.
He's talking about Darwin.
No, I said.
I said, I agree with you.
Darwin, yeah.
Martinelli is better than Nunez. It's not even a contest. Sure. Come on. When we talk about attributes, yeah, maybe Nunez might have better attributes as a striker, but that's not what we're talking about. We're just talking about straight up playing what we've seen. But anyways, I think, you know, at this point, that's where you guys are. You guys will compete. But to get over the hump, some of these guys got to change. I think that's what it is.
I agree.
A game like today, if you had better guys in just certain positions, I think you win this game.
I mean, and listen.
Injuries
have plagued us, bro. They've plagued us this season. And we haven't had to deal with them like that for the past 2 years. So, like, this is just our time. But, bro, Arteta is not helping us. Like I said, the manager's
where's
job.
Sterling? Where's Sterling in all of this?
I don't want to see Sterling.
What is your plan?
No.
Why are you bringing him in though? If you're not, there's not a real plan. This is a waste of a transfer.
Obviously, he's just not up to the standard that we're at right now. But it's not about that. It's truly just about one, the decision making on the lineup. It's an issue, and then two, the stubbornness to not change things. Like, this game was stale early for us. Early it was stale for us. Yeah, we had, you know, possession and things like that, but it was stale for us. And, you know, like I've been saying, Saka's been scoring and assisting pretty much every game outside of the past two games for whatever reason. But he needs support. The year we almost won the title, it was the goals spread out, you know. There's no support right now.
Yeah.
The majority of the goals and the assists are coming out of our 29 goals. Guy. Saka exactly. has had 15 involvements in those. Bro.
That's not okay.
Think about it. 15 and 29. He has over half of our goals and assists this season.
Yeah.
So it's like, Odegaard, I'm looking at you.
Yeah.
I did this a couple years ago, but Odegaard, I'm looking at you.
Because he gets a lot of
goals, but I'm looking at you. Martinelli, I'm looking at you. Mm-hmm. Partey is doing his job. Saliba's pitching in. Gabriel's pitching in. Kai Havertz, I'm not even going to lie. He's scored 5 goals, but I'm still looking at you. I need you to score more, a little bit more too. You feel me? It's like I'm looking at the support, and I'm like, Odegaard, I know you just come back from injury, but bro, you're a skip. When we went on this run, you had 10-plus goals.
Yeah.
Everyone had 10-plus goals. Come on, you know what I mean. But also, I think it comes down from the coaching as well. And today we did not put our players in the best way to succeed. Back line, there's only so much we can do about that. But like I said, we have. I know it's old, but we have Miles Lewis-Skelly on the bench. We have only and Tierney on the bench, bro. I would rather start one of them there, and put Partey into the midfield if you're going to start him, or put them on the left back and put Timber as a right back. And Miles Lewis-Skelly, I'd rather him start before, you know, something like that. But it's,
wait. Timber was healthy and he didn't start?
No, Timber was healthy. He started, but I'm saying he started as a left back.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And Partey was the right back. That's what I'm saying. So I'm like,
oh, yeah.
So I'd rather Timber start as the
right back. Yeah, I was confused for a second.
I would rather put Miles Lewis-Skelly at right back and Miles Lewis-Skelly at left back. Like, bro, some of these players have shown me that they can play. You look at them every day in training. I've seen them in matches. They perform, even if it's only 60 minutes. If you want to throw Partey in the right back for the last 20 minutes, sure, whatever. But it's like, bro, some of these players have shown that they can play. I'm tired of the stubbornness of not seeing players play. Nwaniri, I need to see more time from him. He came into the game instantly, beat two players. Like, I need to see him play more. Clearly, he can play. Clearly, he's showing you week in, week out. And I know he's doing it in training, too. Like, I know it. I know it. So it's like, why aren't these players playing? And it's just, to me, it's just stubbornness, bro. It's honestly just stubbornness.
It is.
It's just stubbornness.
And the reason why I brought up Sterling is that, you know, you're talking about him switching things up. So I'm looking at your bench, and I'm like, okay, maybe Sterling is one of your best options. But you brought him in, and it doesn't seem like you're using him. He has enough experience to help you in some of these spots. But
Mike,
I don't know. You don't trust him? So why bring him in?
This is the same. If you're not getting picked, he's looking at you every day in training. Like, and we have other players that we have Trossard there. We have Martinelli there. Like, you're not over those two right now. And we need a win. Can I rely on you to get us a dub right now? Probably not. And that's probably how you looked at it.
Yeah, and to end it here, you know, just so we don't keep going on about Arsenal, but why do you think we let Sterling go and didn't feel
like I know why.
We let him go and didn't feel any gripes about it because we kind of know the Sterling player. We know the player he is now. He's not the player from 5 years ago. That was at City. That was a part of that whole let's win trophies and scoring goals. So for me, it's like, yes, they do have players that could potentially play and help them out. But like Gabriel said, the players that need to step up have to step up. And one of the biggest person that has to step up is their manager, Arteta. I agree. I think he's not putting them in positions to win. And we're seeing them drop points early. You know, so selfishly, I'm not mad at it because now we're in second place by ourselves. But at the end of the day, we, just like we said in the midweek episode, we need people to keep pressure on Liverpool, if anything, because I'm not so confident in this Chelsea team that we can go through and get max points all through December and January. We're still a young team. And if anything, today's game showed exactly that. We there's still a lot of hurdles we have to overcome, and I'm glad we were able to escape with the 3 points because 20 minutes in, I was ready to fire Cucurella and say you can go back to Brighton for all I care, bro. I was so done with him because how, as a professional, do you warm up on a pitch knowing that it's going to be raining, and then in two of the most important moments of the match, you have wardrobe malfunction, and now we are down 2-0. It's just unexplainable. It's inexplicable to me. Like, bro, you're a professional. And then you're going on the side and you're throwing a temper tantrum and you're moving. Don't be about it, bro. You know what? You slipped the first time and they scored. You would think maybe that would be the time to say, hey, like, this isn't these aren't the boots for today. And then the second time it happens, and now you're looking for sympathy. No one's going to give you sympathy, dude. No one's giving you sympathy. But at the end of the day, you know, I don't really want to talk too much about the game, but I do want to talk about Sancho and how I wasn't the happiest to see him get the start today. But like I said in our midweek episode, sometimes Maresca is putting in players that haven't really worked together, and I don't get it at first. But this guy is smart, you know, like whatever it is, this guy understands what players go well with the way he's trying to play, or depending on who we're going up against, I think maybe Sancho and Neto are better instead of putting Nani and Mudrik or Nani and the way he's working this team to even the Caicedo in the right back position. I wasn't a fan of it. I texted Mike before. I said, what do you think? And he was like, I don't necessarily like it. Because why are we starting, you know, this way when we have a potential player we could put back there? But it worked. And we saw, you know, and we saw Lavia put in one of the better 45-minute shifts he's had all season. So I can still see that he's tinkering. Again, I still would like to know his preferred 11. But today was just today honestly was just
a show of resilience. I mean, there were matches. I mean, there were times in the match where I thought Cole Palmer was, you know, not as involved. And then as soon as I say that, he would get a little bit more involved. And there were times, you know, in the match where I thought our defense was just lacking, and then we would actually tighten up on defense. So there were spells where, you know, I saw the deficiencies we had, but then, you know, we would tighten up on those. So it's good to see that we still have the capabilities to put together a full 90. We just haven't been able to put together a full 90 to my standard yet. You know, against these smaller teams, sure. When you go beat up the FC Noahs and you go win, you know, big in the league against the Southamptons and these other teams, cool. But when we're playing these top four, top six, you know, these London derbies, these bigger matches, I really need to see, you know, our defense tighten up. I want to see more clean sheets. And I just need to see us control the game more. But, you know, in hostile territory against Tottenham, I said it would be 4-2 on the episode last week. I knew there were going to be a lot of goals. There's just always a lot of goals whenever we play Tottenham. It's just the nature of, you know, Chelsea versus them. But I'm just glad we were able to escape with the win. Again, like I said, last week, we don't know how to end our halves. Somehow we were able to get away with letting them score in injury time. You know, it's just like those little things when I look at us, it's just like, we need to close these matches out better. We need to tighten up here better. But at the end of the day, 3 points is 3 points, so we move.
All valid points you made there. I agree with all of them, to be honest. I want to highlight some guys. I know me and you had a little chat going on the side about Badi Ashil. And that's what I was saying about him the last time. You know, you give me a good performance, that's the standard I'm going to judge you on. And then we come this game. I know you're a little shaky. Maybe this might be your first start in the Prem, you know, this season, going with partnering with Cole Will. I get it. You know, it's not the same partnership you've been playing with along with all season. No excuses, though. I didn't think he was too bad. But the thing with Badi Ashil is when he makes mistakes, it's always in dangerous spots. It's always in spots that, you know, it's not like, oh, somebody's going to cover you. It always is like in dangerous spots where it can turn into a goal. So that's my issue with him right now. Right now that Fofana is out, it looks like Maresca is favoring him. So it's like, hey, step it up, or can we switch this out? You know,
like how bad is De Sassi in practice? Because Gabriel, I didn't even say it out loud. Gabriel pointed it out in the second half. He's like, this is probably the 10th time Badi Ashil has just passed the ball to the other team.
To nobody, yeah.
to literal space. It's the ball. He's scanning, and then he's passing it to no one. So it's like, bro, you know you're a defender, so if you're passing it, it's more than likely not going past the middle third.
Bro, and you know, that's the crazy thing. I've seen you ding a pass from the left side all the way. Perfect to the player's chest. And then you do that. So that's for me. That's where my frustration comes in. I want to, you know, Shalom, thank you, man. Thank you guys for giving us Sancho, man. I mean, you know how I've always liked Sancho. But, hey, thank you once again. I want to thank you guys. We'll take care of him for you guys. We'll take it from here. You guys don't have to worry about it.
Make sure you buy it. After you use your trial, make sure you buy it.
We'll take him from here. Robert Sanchez. I mean,
Buns.
Does this guy just try like to give the games away? Did you see that pass? Luckily, they passed it back right into his arms. I mean,
match fixing.
Maresca, I feel like every week in his press conference, he highlights certain players or tries to double down on certain points that, you know, maybe people are, you know, talking about. Sanchez has been a huge topic of discussion for a lot of Chelsea fans.
Because it's not up to par.
Every game, dog. Every game. You know, bro, like Salam said, bro, I'm not asking you to give me 10 out of 10. But every game, passing the ball to nobody. And it's always getting picked up by the opposition.
It's dangerous, man. It's so dangerous. We're playing with fire every time we play the ball back to him. It's scary, man. It's like we're really playing with fire every time we pass the ball back to him. Yeah. And then it doesn't make it any better that our defenders aren't that most solid either.
Yeah. So
it's like when your back line and your goalkeeper are a little shaky.
Yeah. Everybody's nervous back there. Like, guys need to calm down. Because Sanchez, for me right now, is the one guy I'm looking at that I can confidently say that if he continues, I don't know if we win the league with Sanchez. It'll be a finesse job if we win the league with Sanchez, because I don't see it. Because some of these mistakes, championship teams are not making these mistakes. I also wanted to highlight Enzo Fernandez. I mean, I don't know what happened since he got benched. I don't know what Maresca told him. I don't know what conversation they had. I don't know.
But them divorce papers went through.
Something is working.
Free man.
And
free man.
I know a lot of people have had, you know, what is he really giving us? And like I always said, for me, you know, he wasn't my biggest issue in that midfield. I just always felt the combination of players. Okay, who's partnering up with who and who is around in that, you know, attack or defense that can, you know, help. Now that he's playing, you know, Enzo a little forward and, you know, Lavia is kind of a little behind, we can see how much he's contributing to the offense and the attack. I mean, another goal. I mean, just beautiful goal. $110 million overpaid, but I'm starting to feel better about it for sure. I'm starting to feel better about that $120 million that we gave Benfica. He was never worth that much, but I'm okay. You know, another 10 out of 10 for me from, well, I'll say 8 out of 10 for me from Cole Palmer to PKs. And people always talk, you know, oh, PK, man, shit. Still hasn't missed a PK for Chelsea, by the way. 12 out of 12.
Just was going to say he broke.
That alone is impressive. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he broke Yaya Toure's record for most penalties without missing. Yeah. 11.
Congrats.
No, another big one for him. And I think Cole Palmer makes a lot of guys in the league uncomfortable, because I know a lot of teams have guys that they look at as, you know, their big guy. And then you have this guy doing what he's doing. And it's hard to not look at him. I mean, look at Foden. They looked at us last year and told us Foden was the best player in the league. Are you kidding me? Last season, Foden was not even the best player. But English hype, you know, Foden will give you 4 or 5 games where he plays exceptional and fools everybody. Hey. But
he's
what can we say, man? I'm not saying he's a bad player. He was probably top three great seasons last year, but he was not the best player, in my opinion.
No, I'm saying Palmer's. He's probably.
Oh, right now in the league,
he could be top two. Maybe not. Yeah. Well,
I'll say top three because, you know, I give Salah his flowers. Salah is doing his thing in the league. I'll give Sanchez flowers, and Haaland is doing his thing too, but, you know, City's not looking too good right now, so, you know. And by the way, Tottenham, man, we need to talk about Tottenham sometimes, because some of their decision-making surprises me. And on what? Was it Friday? Yeah, Friday they have the press conference. They're telling us all these guys are out. Somehow today all these guys are here.
Yeah.
Clearly these guys were not ready. You guys were not ready.
Romero,
they both got hurt. Van der Ven and Romero both got hurt.
I mean, look at where you are on the table. But no, look at where you are on the table. Is this game that big for you to rush your season, to put your season in jeopardy over just, you know?
I agree, Mike. Because even if you lose, you at least can come back with those players next.
Exactly. You have the rest of the season, you know?
But now there's another delay with your two best defenders.
It makes no sense to me. I didn't think this game was that big enough for them to bring these guys back this quickly.
Especially when you saw the, what's his name, Dragason, when he came on. Nah, bro, I'm not trying to take anything away from Sanchez.
He played well, too.
No, he didn't. Number six?
No. Dragic held his own.
I don't know. I'm not going to go there.
Early spoiler, crash out of the week. Dragicin and Postecoglou, because we see the way, you know, you try to go at the fans now. So,
but I think honestly, I honestly think that's part of Tottenham's. Mm-hmm. I don't even want to say Tottenham's issue, but it's part of Ange too. He has a little bit of that ego thing that we've been talking about with Arteta.
Yeah,
you know, it started last year with a, it doesn't matter who we play, we're gonna have a high line. Okay, then you're going to face Erling Haaland and he's going to score three on you. Or you're going to face a Chelsea and we're going to just counter. You know, like that's not going to work against every team in the league. You know, it's the aura and the my way or the highway, the Ange, you know, tactics. They were cool in the honeymoon phase. But now that we're kind of past that and we're looking at the league and we've been talking about it all year, bro, it's tight. You look at Fulham, you look at Villa, you look at Bournemouth, you look at Nottingham Forest. These teams are in the top 10. You know, like these teams are fighting for these European spots because they know it's possible. They're looking at what happened with Villa last year and they're like, oh, okay, Villa's not that far off from us. I mean, we just talked about how good Fulham is, but then you look at who they have on their teams. These are players that used to be on the top four.
Top teams,
you look at who's over there at Nottingham Forest. These are players that used to be on the top four. So a lot of these teams have players and they have systems where they're like, look, we can go fight for something. Look, we're still in the FA Cup. Look, we're still in Carabao. We can go fight for something. We haven't talked about Newcastle really because they're hot and cold, but they just took points off Liverpool. They're still thinking we can go fight for something. So if Ange doesn't get too careful, he's going to be looking like, oh, wait, what happened? You know, and now that he has his best two defenders out, this is going to be a very, very big December for them. It's going to be interesting how they come out of this. They have a tough schedule
coming up, too.
They have
a tough
schedule coming up.
Yeah. That's why it was a horrible decision to rush those guys back. You didn't need to play these guys against us. I'm sorry. I'm glad you respected us to feel like you have to bring them back. But I didn't think it was necessary. When I saw the lineup, I was like, wait, I watched your press conference. You told us these guys were not ready. How are they ready today? But
anyway, all jokes aside, though, I mean, you got to – I think what Son missed a huge chance. And I mean, they had chances.
Son missed a huge chance. That was crazy.
And I'm not going to lie. We escaped with 3 points. They had chances to put us away. They were up 2-0. We scored. Son had that chance to go 3-1 and went over the post. You know, they were messing around even in the second half while they're still up 2. The whole game, I was on edge. I didn't like, and y'all know me, I don't ever think about Tottenham. I go to sleep and I wake up and then, oh, we're playing Tottenham today? Cool. Let me go throw on my jersey. That's how I feel about them because there's not a game I have to get up for. Today, I was nervous. Today, I truly, and I the people who go and watch this that are in my other group chat, yeah, I know I said I wasn't nervous even for a second. But I was nervous today. After I saw Cucurella slip twice, I threw my phone and I was literally like, yo, what is going on? I didn't know how the match would end. So the fact we escaped with 3 points is really on the manager. This one's on the manager.
Funny, man. He's funny.
Yeah, man.
It's all said and done, Cuckoo. For real, man. Yeah. What a Papa, remember when Papa signed? He was like, he looks like a fan who won the sweepstakes to go to go like, on the tour in the back, man.
That's
the
Papa. That's funny. Oh, man.
You guys have a good foundation, though. You guys have a good foundation.
We look good, man.
Yeah, you look good right now. We'll see what you guys.
I'm curious to see what we do in January. I don't think we should go out there and do too much, but I'm interested to see what they do.
I mean, if you're gonna bring in anybody, it has to be
a keeper. A keeper or a defender.
What about the other guy? Ain't there someone from Iceland?
Oh yeah. He's from he played Anderlecht, the keeper Penders. Is it? Penders. No, Genk. The keeper Penders.
How do you say his name? Goransson?
Oh, you talk about Philip. You talk about our guy now?
Oh, Georgi Petrovic? No, is that what you're talking about?
No, he's talking about Philip.
there's there's Petrovic.
Jorgensen.
Jorgensen, you're right.
I thought one of you guys said he was the best keeper you had.
Yeah.
Mike said that. I mean, he looks to be better than
Robert Sanchez.
Let's be honest. He's better than Sanchez.
You guys that is your Achilles heel for sure. You guys will only go as far as Robert Sanchez will take you, because
I'm telling you,
he started for us in the midweek game. In the Wednesday game. Yeah.
That's crazy. I remember we had a conversation about Robert Sanchez, Aaron Ramsdale, and Onana. here I am, just months later, just like, how did we have that conversation? But
no,
I enjoyed it.
I never guessed Sanchez. I was never a fan.
All right.
But anyway, man. But how do we do with our locks?
Oh man, if Martinelli wasn't so lazy, we would have went 4-0. How about that? Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Mine too.
I had Arsenal money line. Mine too, bro. Two for two. Okay. So, you know, Cornelius is lock hit. Mike, your lock hit over on goals. So, first our Villa money line they won this week. So,
yeah. Two.
Not too bad, honestly. Yeah, it was one of those weeks.
Man, blame Martinelli, man. I blame him.
How about Leicester, though? Leicester. Remember I asked you about Rude. I was telling you, I feel like there's something.
He hasn't lost. He ain't lost.
Bro.
I like him.
Who goes in the last 4 minutes of the game? That's impressive. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's a hot take, but do you think he can get them out of relegation?
They're not in relegation. They're far from relegation right now.
Yeah.
So they'll stay.
They'll stay.
They should stay.
Leicester is definitely going to be one of the teams that got promoted staying. I think Ipswich stays too.
It'll be tough for them. It'll be tough, but
the way the Wolves are playing, and Southampton.
Southampton are going back.
Yeah, they're going.
And then it's between Ipswich and probably Everton.
Yeah, they should go now, honestly. If we could send them back now, and then, like, I'll take Leeds back. I'm a United fan. I don't really.
Leeds doing all right. Actually, I was just looking at the championship today because West Brom played Sheffield. Sheffield, Leeds, and Burnley are the top three teams.
Okay,
but then Sunderland is top four, and Sunderland is only 3 points behind.
Sunderland
back. I need
them back. That's real prem.
Stadium of Light. What we said about Forest, though? Are they real contenders for top five?
Yeah, they're a good team. I feel like they have a really good team, a really good squad.
They do.
You know, and I think that, like, when you look at, they can kind of get a spark from a few different areas. You know, like this past week, I felt like Morgan Gibbs-White was really good.
He's our guy.
I mean, Hudson-Odoi. Hudson-Odoi can produce something. I feel like Elanga, when he's healthy. I mean, Chris Wood, bro, he scores in, like, big games. I feel like he's, you know, he's one of those guys, that our Nigerian guy. He's not, you know, he does well when he plays.
Ain't as good, yeah.
Yeah, and I love the
the
left back, Oleana. I like him too.
Yeah.
I mean, I think defensively they're very sound, but they don't produce enough offensively. They don't have the offensive firepower to stay in the top five. Kind of, you have to score. Like, that's one thing that will, like, for example, will help Chelsea throughout the entire season. Just bet the over on goals almost every time. Whenever they play a smaller team, just bet the over, because they're going to score 2 to 3 goals every game.
And they'll give up
2 to 3, and they'll give up two. They'll give up 1 to 2 every game, 1 to 2 every game, and they'll score 2 to 3 every game. So it's like,
that's a good call, you
know. And you know, you have to score to win, and they just don't do that enough. So I don't foresee them getting, you know.
Yeah, I couldn't.
I think it'll be like 9. You know, it'll be 9, 8. Something like that, but they'll have a good season. I think they have a lot of positives to take from it, especially they have a team to build around if everyone stays. So
Like, no disrespect, I feel like if you finish in the top 10 on the table this year, that means you at one point were fighting for a European spot. Because just like the way the table is right now, like if you look at top 10, all those teams are like
so close. Yeah.
Like maybe 3 weeks ago you were top 6 and then you dropped to 10 because you went on that. You know, so it's really just like that.
I do want to say, I don't want to spoil it. This is part of it is going to be my part of my weekend recap. And I'll elaborate a little bit, but I just want to come out here and say United won't finish above Chelsea this season. I will admit that I got that wrong.
Clearly.
But you're not finishing above us either. Thank you.
I'll get to you here in a second, Gabriel. But before I do, Cornelius and Mike, scoot over. I want to get on the wagon. I want to get on the bandwagon. What do you guys say? Up the what? Tell me. What do you say?
Up the chills.
Up the chills. Nah, I really think
it ends. That's what we say. Enzo in. Enzo. Enzo.
You're 4 points off top four. Yeah, and I really think that you guys are the only team that has the squad depth to get maximum points in this December. And I wouldn't be surprised if at the start of 2025, if you're in first place.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. Like I said in our midweek episode, if this continues for the next 10 games, I will be on this spot and I will declare we're winning the league. Not that we're even in a title race. We're winning the league. It's an outrageous statement. Right now, I don't even believe it. I see everything I'm seeing. We look good, but I still think we're not that good when it comes to Liverpool and City. We only lost by 1 point to those guys. So let's say this continues for 10 games. We see them again. I like our chances. I don't know. I don't think we drop points to them again if we see them.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are not the same team that you were when you played Liverpool.
Exactly. City and Liverpool first three matches.
And we only lost by 1 point in both games.
Yeah.
You see them again? Yeah.
Yeah. As Yasser said, it was just a game in August.
I'm going to be honest. The only big team that I'm worried about seeing again is Arsenal at the Emirates. That's the only team right now I'm worried about. Arsenal plays well at the Emirates. We haven't been able to at the Emirates in almost 3 years.
In a minute.
Yeah, so that's the only like team that we play next. That's the top four or five team that I'm like, yeah, I don't know about that game.
The Emirates. I hear you.
But yeah, honestly, speaking about games, let's just get into it. What do y'all see next? I know we have Champions League European matches coming up this week as well.
Arsenal has Monaco at the Emirates on Wednesday. I expect us to get a dub. I want to see some players start. I want to see Mwaniri start. If he's not going to play in the Prem, start him in the Champions League. I want to see him start. I know it's probably a big ask, but I want to see him start. I think we'll win. Honestly, we should win 3-0. If I'm being completely honest, we should beat this team 2-3-0. And then we see on the weekend. I just have it. Sorry, in my head. On the weekend, we see Everton at home on Saturday. I think this. I'm going to declare a GRG.
Smack.
I'm declaring a GRG right now. Right now, this should be a game where we get back on our horse again. Because we need the points.
GRG. You wrote calling GRG.
Yes.
Yeah, right. Midweek, in Europa League, we play Victoria Plzen. So, you know, we're on that Chelsea. Actually, I'm not going to disrespect you. I've actually heard of, you know, I think I've seen Victoria Plzen play somebody.
Yeah, no, we know. I've heard of Victoria.
Whoever it is.
They're always in Europe.
But like Gabriel said, I don't know if GRG applies for games that are outside of the Prem, but I think this is definitely a get-right game for us. We're currently sitting in 12th place in the Europa League standings. If we win, I think we have a good chance of getting into one of those automatic qualification spots. And to be very honest with you, I think this is our best route to Champions League. So I think we have to take this 100% seriously. So I think we get a win there. Definitely we'll get right. And then on the weekend, it's a Manchester derby.
So. Wow, no way. You guys play City next?
Yeah, we play City next. To be very honest with you.
I'm worried this.
This is the most confident I felt in a while going up against City. It's because
really
they look at them. You see those City boys? I'm not worried about them. Well, I shouldn't say I'm not worried about them. Anybody can get right against us. But I just feel like with where they are currently as a team, Pep continues to crash out. I think we have a solid chance of getting points there. So I'm going to go with a draw there. 4 points on the week. No losses.
All right. Let's hope. I feel like Yamarin has had a tough run of games since he got here. This game is really like, it's almost like a rigorous like scrimmage game. Still been like sink or swim. All right, we see Astana from Kazakhstan.
Very nice.
Look at you. Borat. You didn't even tell me one player, but you can tell me Borat from there.
Very nice.
Yeah, we play Astana. Like you said, Salam, Europa is you guys' lead to Champions League. Hopefully we make top four. I'm hoping we make top four. That would be some type of collapse if we don't make top four. But anyways, Conference League is one of those trophies this season. No excuses for me.
Agreed. We
absolutely have to take care of business in this tournament. There's no excuse. Astana, I'm sorry, you might get five. We're just doing our job. I'm sorry. You might get five. Next weekend, we see Brentford. I'm excited. I want to see how we look against Brentford.
Over, please. just bet it.
Luckily for us, it's our Stamford Bridge. So I'm taking 3-2 Chelsea at the bridge against Brentford on the weekend.
I would say 3-1 actually. I think there'll be either like a Mbeumo or Wissa goal. But I will say this, you know, to piggyback off the European sentiment, I think that winning the Conference League would be big in a lot of these players' developments, just because, again, for the Conference League, a lot of these games we're going, you know, Kazakhstan, we're going to these countries that you don't normally travel to, you're playing in hostile environments. A lot of these players need that in their development, because I think a lot of them are a little still soft and a lot of them are a little entitled. And Maresca is one of those like hard edged, you know, like kind of like a military type, type mentality where training, you have to work hard. You show me what you do in training in order for you to get game time. So a lot of these players have to work hard to get game time. And I think these Conference League games are where they can show that they can actually, you know, possibly down the road be in these bigger games. So for me, I think it's big in these players' development because they need to win something so they can get that feeling of, oh, this is what it feels like to win, because no one on our team really has won anything yet. You know, we've gotten to a final, but we haven't won a final. So I think that feeling of winning will be big in development. And if Maresca can get them to understand, okay, this is what it feels like to win. Now that you guys know, let's go chase the big ones. So I really do feel like Europe is big. I know it's the Conference League, but I think in the long grand scheme of things, this is something we need to win.
That's a good point. And I think it's a good stepping stone for you guys as well, too.
I agree.
It's kind of like
1,000%.
Well, it's kind of like what I thought the Carabao Cup was for us, but you guys are clearly in a better situation in terms of player personnel, but good analysis. Shout out before we do shout outs, crash outs. Who crashed out this week? And again, when we do this, it's not to be, it's not to be disrespectful. We're just having fun, man. Everybody has a bad week. So like it's just we're just trying to have fun. But cash out of the week. Pep.
Yeah, you guys saw the video, trash, right? Man. That video was actually funny.
Oh, when he
said the funny part, he holding me back.
Bro, the funny part, I watched that video probably 20 times in the room. I couldn't tell you what that dude said to him. In that scout's accent, I couldn't tell you what he said to him. But he was pissed. He turned around and was like, okay. But
no. Mourinho and him going back and forth. It's funny, I think. I like it. It's good for the sport. It's good for the rivalry. Obviously, you know, Pep and Mourinho can both sit at, you know, the same table, even though, you know, Pep's won a little bit more. I don't know, man. I like this Pep because I when you win a lot, sometimes you got to let people know, man. I've been doing this. Yeah, you know, people have been waiting for this moment to celebrate cities down. They've been waiting for this, so you got to remind them.
I have, I bought a first class ticket to see City Downfall.
Pep, Pep is the poster boy for Crash Out, especially up until this point in the season. But mine is definitely Ange Postecoglou.
Angie,
because busted down the AP because, yeah, bro. Now you don't got no center backs, man. Good luck with Dragosin too, bro. Another crash out. There you go.
All right,
and Cucurella, man. There you go with your boots.
Yeah.
That's a solid crash out group right there.
Solid.
Pep, Ange, Cucurella, and Dragosin.
That's fair. Yeah, that's fair.
That's not a bad one, man.
Yeah.
And Dan Ashworth, you really crashed out.
Yeah.
But shout outs on a positive note.
My shout out, funny enough, is I have to Cole Palmer and Ruud van Nistelrooy. I like what he's doing. Ruud van Nistelrooy.
That's a good one. I would say mine. I got two as well too. I would say the first one is, I mean, I know that we've talked about it. I think Gabriel alluded it a little bit to it earlier, but really, man, just Bukayo Saka, bro. I just feel like, you know, when Odegaard was gone, you know, he really, you know, really shouldered the burden of producing. And it's just crazy, man. The way the media portrays Odegaard. And like how they, I mean, he's the captain, so like obviously they're going to credit him a lot. But you know, I just feel like Saka deserves way more credit. I feel like Odegaard really hasn't done for much for me, especially since he's come back. So on here, definitely want to recognize him. All banter aside, he's definitely the best player in the league. And then the second one is, man, Brentford's front three, man, Wissa. And Mbeumo and Kevin Shade, man. Kevin Shade, bro, if you guys are not hip, I got hip to him just on FIFA. He's a 91 pace. So he was obviously, you know, if he fits my profile of player I look for in FIFA. But, shout out to those three, man. Two African guys, one German guy. So definitely Brentford.
I have a couple shout-outs. Shout out Fulham. Shout out Nottingham Forest. Shout out Brentford. Those are my three. These are teams that they're doing a lot better than I thought they ever would at this current time. Now we'll see how it shakes out, but for right now, shout out to those three clubs.
Yeah, honestly, just a piggyback.
Last one. Go ahead with you.
No, I was gonna say, yeah, just a shout out Brentford, man, because as a small club, you know, we look at Leicester. You know, they were the last small club to really come up and stay in the Prem for a good mainstay. You know, obviously win the Prem, you know, win trophies. But then
stay here for a little bit. I know they've gone down and come back up and gone down and come back up, but we kind of look at Leicester as now kind of like a mainstay in the Prem. We're kind of sad to see them go down. And Brentford, just the same way, has come into the Prem and they made it their home. Like, they came stepping, bro. You know, obviously, Ivan Toney, we know what he did, but he's gone now, and Mbeumo and Wissa have stepped up. You know, shout out to Mike. That was your weekend recap, either last week or a few weeks ago. You're talking about Wissa and Mbeumo, and they're just balling week after week. Like, we talked about it early in the season because they had some injuries. But they come back, and just week after week, you can rely on them. So it's cool to see, like, Brentford in the Prem now and us look at them as, like, a real, like, Premier League team. So yeah, shout out to them.
All right, I was going to ask you guys, where do you guys – put this Brentford front three just quickly, like 30 seconds, so we can give it. Where do you rank them? Yeah, in the league, would you put them in the top five? Because numbers wise,
they're top five after Liverpool, Chelsea,
Arsenal,
City.
Brentford is up there. Oh, man. I mean, I guess Holland does enough for
They're not top five.
I'm talking about if you're looking at just like as a unit, though.
Yes, I would say Villa.
Yeah, Villa.
Ollie Watkins can serve you. Right. Durant can serve you. Leon Bailey. Professionally.
They're up there, though.
They score goals, but they're up there. But
they're just
I still have.
I mean, if you're going to say as far as talent and, like, eye test, sure, maybe not top five. But, I mean, when you look at their games, bro, the way they're poachers. Like, they're poachers. Like, Wissa is a poacher. He's going to wait on your back line. And if you make a mistake,
he's there.
I think even 2 weeks ago, he stole one, you know, and scored. Like, these guys have IQs because they're not the strongest. They're not the quickest. But if you look at the way they play, you know, their position, they're very, very smart, bro. Like, that's why I like watching them play, because they're going to find a goal somehow, some way. Head, corner piece, set piece, poach, little scrum in the middle off a corner. They just score goals. It's like you always need one of those on your team, and they got two. So,
yeah.
That's a good point. Well, Mike cut out. I think that's a good ending. Man, Mike just leaves, man. When it's time to go, he just leaves. You know. All right. Good episode, guys. Definitely tune in. Recaps and the episode will drop tomorrow. As always, we appreciate your support. Thank you for tuning in. And as always, good luck to you in your future endeavors.